if you're going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
There is a religious war going on in this country. It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself, for this war is for the soul of America.
The popularity of something does not determine its truthfulness, and the popularity of something does not take away the danger of that false teaching.
When God put Adam and Eve into this world, he did it in a certain way that is determinative forever for the way in which men and women relate to one another.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
This falls into the category of, why am I not reading about this in the American papers or seeing this on television or even seeing it circulated in some way in the American media? It's not as though Islam is not a big factor in world politics and world religion. It's not as though one of the most ancient churches in the world is not newsworthy. We're talking here about the Hagia Sophia, a 6th century basilica that was at one time the geographical and theological center of Christendom, and for a time, almost, well, 1,000 years. And it's not as though the country of Turkey isn't significant in geopolitics either. So why aren't we reading the story about Ramadan prayers being offered inside Istanbul's Hagia Sophia, officially a museum, at one time a Christian church, then a mosque, now a museum there in present-day Turkey? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly is going to answer that question. Why aren't we reading about this story, Ramadan prayers, from the Hagia Sophia, in just a minute here on Issues Etc.? And then after our conversation with him, we're going to talk about a new survey on religious affiliation in Great Britain. You may have seen it in the New York Times. Is Great Britain losing its religion? Pastor John Ehlers will join us, chairman of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. And then Dr. Ken Cherb in hour two joins us for part 28 of our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. Today we're going to talk about Luther's last 15 years. He's wanting to call it Old Man Luther. That's hour two of Issues Etc. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Terry, why aren't we reading about this in the American press? I read a piece you just wrote, but I'm not reading it anyplace else.
Well, let me be cynical about this, not that I'm known for being cynical, but I realize that my emotions are involved in this, because I'm an Eastern Orthodox Christian. And second, I have been in Hagia Sophia twice, and that's a highly unusual experience for someone of my religious background. But I'd say the main reason we're not reading about this right now is that Pope Francis hasn't mentioned it yet. In other words, if Pope Francis mentioned this standoff, this great war of words, then I assume it would at least get an Associated Press report. Then again, maybe I'm cynical enough at this point to think that what Pope Francis says only gets coverage if it fits a certain agenda. And maybe since this one would be related to religious liberty rights of minorities, specifically Christians in the Muslim world, maybe this story wouldn't even get any attention. But it's a very important deal. And let me just kind of back up one or two things you said and make them even stronger. There is no question that this is a museum. This is a museum under Turkish law. This has been recognized as a museum by UNESCO. And the status of this great basilica is controversial in that it's secular, but pretty much everybody in Turkey, at least for several decades or more, have agreed that it's safest that it remain secular. I mean, we are dealing here with a one of the architectural wonders of the world, and the fact that this thing was built in like 6 years, and it's one of the largest domes in the world. It's bigger than St. Peter's, the central vault of this thing, and it's amazing to go in there. But this was the most important church in the world during the Byzantine era, which pretty much means for what, you know, almost a millennium, or at the very least 600, 700 years, you know, this was the center of Christianity on earth. Today, it's a massively important tourist site, but in an era of escalating Islamic fervor in formerly secular Turkey, Hagia Sophia has emerged as kind of a battleground for whether Islam will kind of reconquer Turkey itself. Turkey, of course, has been this bizarre culture in many ways, in the sense that it's supposed to be a very secular society, modeled in many ways after the French Revolution and concepts coming out of it under the Ataturk regime, the Young Turks, and all that. And now we're in an era of increasing Muslim power and influence overall and in Turkey. When I was in Turkey once, a Muslim sarcastically put it this way concerning the tensions in Turkey, said that even in the Ataturk era, every couple of decades, Muslims would revolt and attempt to reestablish an intensely Muslim culture, and Ataturk would have to use the military to crush them, and that would make him sad. I don't know if this is making any sense, but suffice it to say, Hagia Sophia is the single most symbolic location in this struggle for what kind of culture Turkey will be. And behind that is whether Europe will accept Turkey as a member of the European community. This is a big international story. And for Eastern Orthodox Christians, the second largest body of Christians in the world after Rome, you couldn't get a more symbolic dispute than this, period.
So just for the long kind of historical perspective, it begins as a Christian basilica when the center of Christianity was the center of gravity of Christianity was in the east. There was a battle.
The New Rome.
Right.
And it was the great cathedral in the New Rome.
And then when this area is conquered by the Turks, it is converted into a mosque. And then when Turkey is secularized, it is recognized as a museum.
Right. As a sign of Turkey being a truly secular society as opposed to a Muslim-dominated society. Even though it's a Muslim-majority society, you have all these incredible limitations on public expressions of religion. Just for example, from a Christian perspective, if you're an Orthodox priest, one of the few left in Turkey, you can't walk around in your vestments. If you ever visit the Ecumenical Patriarch, the headquarters, the very, very small cathedral at the center of the what used to be the Great Church of Constantinople, Istanbul, if you visit there, there's a black doorway standing out in front, a black gate. And by that, I mean you could tell it used to be a part of something else, and it's just been painted black and been left there. And it's been there locked shut ever since the Ecumenical Patriarch was hung from that gate centuries ago. And it's remained as a symbol of the oppression of the Christian community in Turkey ever since. And then, of course, don't even get started on the situation with the Armenian Orthodox in terms of their relationships with Turkey. So in the midst of all this, here stands Hagia Sophia, one of the marvels, architectural marvels of the world, one of the wonders of the world. And it's been semi-successfully declared to be neutral territory. Now, when you're there, and especially if you're an Eastern Orthodox believer, there are sections of the sanctuary which is still predominantly decorated as a mosque. And with the Muslim teachings against images, needless to say, the great iconography of this cathedral was covered up. But in a few places in the Hagia Sophia, that covering has been removed, and you can see these massive icons. When tour guides took us in there, both times that I was there, they specifically mentioned to Eastern Orthodox Christians, don't visibly pray. In other words, don't make the sign of the cross. Don't, you know, stand with a prayer book. Don't do anything that would call attention, please. We don't want an incident. So, tense.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. We're talking about media coverage, or lack of coverage, of Ramadan prayers being held inside Istanbul's Hagia Sophia. When we come back, what if the tables were turned? What if it were Christian prayers being offered there in that ancient Christian church? Stay tuned.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, "A Changeless Christ for a Changing World." While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of Ramadan prayers being offered inside Istanbul's Hagia Sophia. Terry Mattingly is our guest, founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, you asked the question, what if the tables were turned? In other words, what if it were Christian prayers that were being offered in this ancient church, Hagia Sophia, then later a mosque, and now a secular museum? What if, say, the Orthodox there decided to hold Vespers?
Well, I mean, we had a situation a number of years ago where Pope Benedict visited, and I thought it was interesting that Pope Benedict, who's about as conservative as a pope we had in some time, Benedict specifically went out of his way not to pray in Hagia Sophia, but prayed in a mosque, kind of, you know, visibly, kind of with a nod of sympathy to the current situation in Turkey. You know, it's hard to imagine. I don't think the Orthodox would even make it into the building in like a show of force to hold Vespers. in the piece I've written for Get Religion, I ask, what if just even one cleric went in there and began praying the Vespers out loud? In other words, would this be an incident? I have no doubt that it would be an international incident. Now, if the Pope did it, it would be a massive international incident. So what we have now is Ramadan prayers, and apparently they're going to continue throughout Ramadan. You have Ramadan prayers being put out on the media of Turkey, I would assume with the consent of the Turkish government, with the images being broadcast from inside Hagia Sophia. That's what it appears to be in the YouTube that I put up with my post. And I'm having trouble understanding why this isn't a rather significant event in Turkish and thus in European news. I can understand why it's not on page one of the New York Times, but I can't believe that it's not drawing coverage at all. If you do your typical online search of relevant terms, Hagia Sophia, comma, Ramadan, comma, prayers, you find out that once again, this story, for some reason, is considered conservative news, something that would only be of interest to religious people and political conservatives, I assume, because it in some way suggests that there's a problem with religious liberty for religious minorities and specifically Christians in a Muslim land. And we've seen that in other stories as well. That's my theory for why it's not getting covered. One other thing, that and the fact that it's a religion story on the other side of planet Earth. And Americans, A, are not interested in news that's on the other side of the Earth unless it directly concerns lots of Americans. That's tragically true. Nothing at Get Religion gets less response from readers than stories about foreign coverage. Then at the same time, you have the fact that American journalists don't seem to care that much about religion. So you put a religion story on the other side of the planet, it's not going to get a whole lot of coverage just because of those two factors.
Do you expect, I mean, Ramadan lasts a whole month, Terry, do you expect this to catch the Pope's attention?
Yes, I expect it will. The other thing that's happening here that could draw some coverage is we're only days away from the start of a decades-in-the-works Great Pan-Orthodox Council, which is supposed to be held in Crete, specifically because it wouldn't be safe, politically or otherwise, to hold it in Turkey. You can't hold it in Hagia Sophia. You can't hold it in the former center of the Byzantine world, so it's going to be held in Crete. Now, there's some possibility this Pan-Orthodox Council will not come off because of some disputes among the Orthodox. We already have major Orthodox leaders have decided not to attend, which should shut down its authority in terms of making major decisions, especially since one of them is the highly symbolic Church of Antioch in Damascus. If Russia, the largest Orthodox church in the world, decided to skip out of this Pan-Orthodox Council, I assume it would fall completely apart. It would be almost worthless without the presence of the massive Church of Russia. Now, I bring that up to say that there may be chances for Orthodox leaders to speak out in front of reporters about what has happened in Hagia Sophia. And the fact that this Pan-Orthodox Council is coming, and that has received at least some media attention, which, of course, is immediately calling it the Orthodox Vatican II, which, A, it isn't, and B, must everything in Orthodoxy be compared to Rome? I mean, come on, people. It's possible that we could have the right combination of factors here that would get some coverage in the mainstream press.
Why, just out of curiosity, why has the Antiochian patriarch decided not to attend, among others?
Well, there's some questions about the quality of the documents that have been sent out. I'm reading up, most interestingly, that there are some people that think the statement on marriage and the defense of marriage may not be strong enough. I mean, it's an Orthodox statement. It's not liberal. But some people might be asking if it's not strong enough. And then there is a dispute among some of the churches in the Middle East of who has jurisdictions in different part of the patchwork quilt that is the current Middle East. So you could consider that a very inside baseball dispute that would not be of interest to people in the West. But it is important if it keeps Antioch out of the council, out of this pan-Orthodox meeting. I'm not expecting the press to cover the fine minutiae of that kind of thing. But when you're dealing with Hagia Sophia and when you're dealing with Turkey as a secular society and attempts to make it a more Muslim society, and Muslim conservatives, even jihadists, have been pressing for the reclaiming of Hagia Sophia for years now, tensions have been building. So right at this moment, perhaps even in a conscious decision by the Turkish government, knowing that this pan-Orthodox council is being held to talk about the status of Orthodoxy in the world today, it's an interesting time to choose on-air public prayers in Ramadan broadcast from Hagia Sophia. That's just really interesting timing.
And this, some people might view this as purely political, but it is, it's dripping with religion angles. This notion of Turkey's future is no small, this is of global importance, isn't it?
And tremendous importance to America and to Europe in terms of viewing Turkey as one of the societies with which it can conceivably work most smoothly in terms of our military forces, economic interest in the regions. This would be like talking about having a more strictly Muslim society in Jordan, except in many ways Turkey is an infinitely bigger economic power and is more important in the region. So you don't get bigger than Turkey in terms of our interests in the region. And here we have the most symbolic piece of ground in all of Turkey kind of going up for grabs again instead of being neutral territory.
So if you were, again, my common question for you, Terry, sitting at the editorial desk and you were talking to your religion desk, what would you urge them to seek out in this story about Ramadan prayers from Hagia Sophia?
I'd say, first of all, you need a Ramadan story. You need valid coverage related to Ramadan. Second, Turkey is incredibly in the news right now because of all the events in Syria, Iraq, and what's going on in that part of the world. The status of Turkey is tremendously important. And then I would say the great pan-Orthodox council, which you may not understand, but it's beginning to make headlines in Europe. You know, this hasn't happened in, more than 1,000 years. There hasn't been one of these things. That's a little bit of time to go past. There's questions about whether it would be held. You need a pan-Orthodox story right now about this council. You put all those three things together, why not cover this story? I would assume that CNN probably has a bureau in Turkey. What would happen if CNN showed up to videotape these prayers in Hagia Sophia? What if they weren't allowed in? What if they were allowed in? I mean, this would be rather dramatic footage.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Folks, Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, is brought to you in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. They offer 50 online educational options for an associate's, a bachelor's, or a master's degree. You can find out more by clicking the Concordia University, Wisconsin online logo at issuesetc.org. Be sure to enter the code ISSUES, and they will happily waive your application fee. Lifelong Lutheran learning, Concordia University, Wisconsin online. When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, June the 9th, we're going to talk with Pastor John Ehlers, chairman of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, about a new survey on religious affiliation in Great Britain and how Lutheranism fares there. We'll be right back.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming, Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.